Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Alive, Wendy's, Ron's Electric Motors, CBS Bahamas, Colina Insurance Limited, Burger King, Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, Dairy Queen, Island Luck, Haltsbury Chambers, Epic Battery, and by Checkers Cafe.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are still dealing with many issues here in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma, some that are tangentially related, like BEC's inability to keep people's electricity on for hours at a time. Myself, not among them, knock on wood, yet, but I've received dozens of complaints from people all over the island. The BEC has had their power off for hours at a time. My suspicion is they are load shedding, and they are using Hurricane Irma as some sort of cover in order to mask the load shedding. I normally wouldn't say something like that because it sounds a little conspiratorial, but I've known BEC for years now, inside and out, and I can tell when something is amiss. There's no reason that they should have sections of New Providence off for hours at a time. And so we're going to dig a little deeper into it and see what's up with that. Not today, but we're going to do some undercover work and see if we can get back to you. The big story, though, coming out of Hurricane Irma's aftermath is Ragged Island. Ragged Island, toe up from the flow up, right? Just crushed, unlivable. The headline in both daily newspapers, both major dailies today. And we have in studio with us Travis Cartwright Carroll, who not only went to Ragged Island yesterday, but for some juxtaposition, Travis went to Crooked Island, which was devastated after Hurricane Joaquin. And Travis's dad, in fact, was in Hurricane, survived Hurricane Joaquin. And Travis says that Ragged Island is much, much worse than Crooked Island was after Joaquin. Tell us when you went there, Travis. What was the experience like getting there, and what did you see on the ground, etc.?
Hey, Juan. Yeah, it was rough. Flying into Ragged Island, we had I was with the Prime Minister and his delegation. We had visited Auckland's. We went to Salina Point earlier, and Crooked Island. And we stopped in Exuma to get some fuel, and then we headed to Ragged Island. As there were three different planes, the media was on a different plane with some cabinet ministers. As we were flying into Ragged Island, the captain said we had to fly near Duncantown to get the attention of the residents to let them know that people were at the airport. So that was a first warning sign that, okay, this is going to be bad. I'd seen the pictures previously. I'd seen what had happened. I'd spoken with the MP, Chester Cooper, who had said, you know, it was heart-wrenching what he saw. So, but I wasn't expecting what I saw yesterday. We landed. We were at the airport. There was a structure. I don't know what it was. I think it was just a little area where you go when you land to sort of get your luggage or whatever. It was blown down. So that was the first thing we saw. We waited at the airport for maybe 5 minutes. A BEC truck came, and another truck came, picked us up, loaded us up, and proceeded to carry us into Duncantown at about a five-minute drive. As we're driving, we see power lines snapped in two, blocking the road. We had to go on the dirt to avoid them. So we're driving up. There's a hill right before you reach the town. So we drive up this hill, and we could see the town. We could see the entire town. And it was my jaw dropped. You know what I'm saying? There were no roofs on some of the houses. There were no homes. where there should have been homes. And there was debris everywhere. And so we start driving down and into town. And the first thing I notice is this property with these lines, clotheslines, with what seems to be someone's entire wardrobe hanging out to dry. So we're driving past that, and I can't look away from that, you know? And then we keep going, power lines in the road, someone's roof was in the road, someone else's roof was in the road. You know, we're avoiding this. We're doing like the Pac-Man shuffle. And, you know, we reach a intersection. We can't go straight because someone's home literally is in the street. The walls, the sofa, the roof, everything that person owned is in the road. They have no more home. It's only the foundation left. So we go right, and we go down, and all we're seeing is devastation, destruction. We saw a few people outside, sitting down outside of their home, or what's left of it. And, you know, they look at us. They seem, I could see in their eyes that they were hurt. They were happy to see us, but, you know, how happy are you to see people when everything that you have is gone? And it was heartbreaking to see that, you know?
Now, you also wrote in your story that there was a lot of animal deaths. There were a lot of animal deaths.
Yeah, the smell of dead flesh in Ragged Island was pervasive. It was inescapable. And the Prime Minister noted that. I caught up with him as he was walking around the town, and, you know, he said, you know, this is not healthy for these people. This is going to get worse. And as we mentioned in our lead story, you know, he's asking those residents to leave. You know, I asked him, is this mandatory? Are you going to force these people to leave? And he said, no, we can't do that. You know, we don't have the law for that. We want them to go for their own good. We don't want them to stay here. They have nothing. You know, they don't have electricity.
Right, just go.
They don't have running water.
Right.
They have no telecommunications. So with our team, we were staggered in terms of how we moved about. I was with a group of people. A few other cabinet ministers were together with some folks from NEMA. The Christian Council president was with us. The Prime Minister was in another, further in town. If we got separated and someone decided to go to the airport and leave, we wouldn't have known until they took off, because you couldn't call. You know.
Right. So there's no electricity. There's no running water. Did they have running water before? I'm not sure they had running
they
water.
Did.
They did. They did. There's no school. There's no clinic.
I didn't, and I regret this, I didn't get to go into the school. Mm-hmm. As we approached the school, we started interviewing residents. We spoke with a gentleman, Amal Smith.
Well, this is the picture of the school.
And, yeah, I saw our photographer's photos after, like when we came back. And I wrote a story about the school in Crooked Island that was damaged by Hurricane, I believe, Irene, I could be mistaken, and how it had taken the government so long to repair that school, and how for months, you know, that school in Crooked Island just lay in destruction. And the photos, what I saw of the school in Ragged Island, it's incredible.
It's worse.
And that's the story everywhere, you know. There's a bar and restaurant and motel called the Ponderosa that was two stories tall. It's only one story now. The other story is in the road. You know, the other part of that structure is in the road.
So when you talk to residents, what do they say was their experience like during the storm? Did they expect this? Like, I know a lot of them hunkered
down.
None
of them expected this.
Did they ever think that it would be this bad?
No, and they don't want to do it again, you know. Whether they would do it in Ragged Island or Nassau, no, they don't want to do it again. They don't want to go through that again.
Part of your story says that they were running from house to house.
Amal Smith, who I spoke to, said that in the home that he was in, when the storm approached, started to shake, he could see debris flying around outside, and he said something hit the side of the home he was in, and the walls started shaking, and all of it started crumbling, and they made a decision to leave. You know, they said, if we stay in this home, we're going to die. So they went in another place. And when they wrote it out there fine, they said it was a little wet. They had some water was getting in. But when they came out and they returned to the home that they were originally in, only a wall was there, you know? Only a wall. Yeah. We also spoke to a lady. She flew in yesterday as she caught a private charter. She spent almost $1,200 to come to see what was left of her home, which was nothing. Wow. Only the foundation.
She had evacuated.
She had left before the storm. Yeah. And it was her and her husband had lived there for 35 years. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing to show for that except the foundation.
And they came back to nothing. Wow. All right. So tell me something. When you talk to residents, what is their spirit like? Is it one that's defeatist, or are they hopeful? Do they want to get out of there? Do you think they'll heed?
They're in shock.
They're still in shock.
I think having visited, like you mentioned, Crooked Island after walking, and you know, visiting my dad, it was quite a story for me getting there. But having gone there and seeing Crooked Island look like it was in Iraq or Syria or Afghanistan, it just looked like a war-torn place. And seeing those people and in shock, that's what people in Ragged Island are going through now. I don't think they really comprehend what they went through, they're going through, and what the coming months will bring.
They're still processing.
Yeah, it's still
what has happened
day to day.
Yeah,
day to day.
Yeah, because I know that some people say they want to leave, and Minis says that he wants them to leave so they can rebuild. And others say that they don't intend on leaving.
Some people have reservations about leaving their home. Yeah. They didn't leave for a Category 5 storm.
Why would they leave now? Right, exactly, yeah. But there's nothing there. It's my point, right?
Yeah.
So you have people who really should not go back right now, like very elderly people.
People might want to go back and see their home or if their home made it. And I get that. And no one can stop them from doing that. But, you know, you won't be able to live there.
Yeah, you can. But
they're running. They have whatever food they have is small supply. Whatever water they have is small supply. Whatever gas they have is in small supply. They're running out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think where we are now is we're gonna have to see if the remaining residents, because there are only 20 people left, right?
They NEMA Captain Steve Russell said that they evacuated about a little over 20 people ahead of the storm.
Mm-hmm. So they're probably there were
18 people that we met on the island yesterday.
Okay, because I thought Ragged Island had a population of about 70 or 80 or something like this.
Yeah, that's what they've been saying.
Okay, so we are at a point where we're not sure exactly what's going to happen. The government clearly, to do anything would take months and months.
Well,
they'd have to clear everything out.
I think that's a priority
ship
for
supplies
them right
in,
now.
Right.
That's the priority for the government because of what happened in the devastation.
Most people have wells. Those would probably be contaminated.
But they would be contaminated many by of the dead animals.
By the dead animals and the seawater and stuff. Yeah.
It's not an ideal situation for human life.
So when you hear Wayne Monroe, and there are a lot of prominent people who come from Ragged Island, whose families come from Ragged Island. Wayne Monroe was born in Ragged Island. Elliot Lockhart is from Ragged Island. Ed Curling, big F&M guy. He's a Ragged Islander. They're pledging to help. They're sending supplies. But do you think that it's something that they can just go in there and dig in and get it back up, or is this really
it can happen.
A long...
They can make it happen with the government's help, but I think if the government is saying that we want these people to leave so we can start this process, I think that should be allowed.
So leave and go where, though? And if you don't know any of these questions, then that's fine.
I don't
fine.
Know. The residents, the prime minister indicated that the 18 people on the island said that they have family in Nassau or Zuma. And so he's asking them to stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
For now, that's what he said yesterday. And I'm sure if the government has to help these people in any way, they will.
Seems dicey. I want you to stay with me. I'm going to take a couple of calls. If you have some questions for Travis, feel free to go ahead and give us a call. 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. And 325-4259. 325-4259. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
Good, and good afternoon to the wonderful, loyal listeners of this show. I'll be brief. Absolutely not. The Bahamian people must not allow two different conversations to get mixed up. Why residents should leave now? For safety reasons, when in times of hurricane, when NEMA put out certain alerts, okay? That's different. You have to be responsible for your own actions. The government can't be responsible for people's actions, for everyone's actions. The government can only be responsible for the action. Now, this is what I really want to say as relates to the people's property. The government cannot afford to purchase the land from these people that their generation had been working for that generation. Okay, so that's how the question. So what needs to happen? What you call Bahamianization and direct foreign investment needs to come together, where these people and the government as a third party come in and allow these people who own this land in the first place, collectively speaking, but there's some land that the people itself cannot afford to take care. We agree with that. What I'm saying is the people and the government and investors need to come together and sit at the table and move our country forward.
Okay. He was brief, so I give him that. I'm not sure I quite absorbed all of it, but that's fine. So let me talk a little bit about this mandatory evacuation order, because there seems to be quite a bit of I don't know why it's so confusing to people, but there seems quite a bit of confusion about evacuation orders and what mandatory evacuation orders are. You guys spoke with Minnis when he talked about wanting to have mandatory evacuation orders, and all our best advice and intelligence says that these would follow the mandatory evacuation orders that the Federal Emergency Management Agency has and the states have in the United States. And they tell you there's a law says there's a mandatory evacuation order in place. Mm-hmm. They say get out. If you don't want to get out, not a problem. You stay right where you are. We're not going to bring police in your home and force you out. But we're not coming to get you. If there's still a chance of danger, that's A. B, we as the state, as the federal government as well, release ourselves from our liability. You have been told to get out of this place, so we are not liable. And that's what I understand the government is looking to do. Not to where they say they go send the defense force and go drag Grammy out of her home. It's just to where they say, we are not liable. We have told you to evacuate. If you choose not to evacuate, realize that you are on your own and that we bear no responsibility. That's what I understand how the bill is supposed to be drafted, if they're going to draft it. Do you have any different understanding of it?
No, that's in line with what we've heard, what I've heard. And like you said, people didn't leave for this storm when the government, for the first time, I think in our history, told people to get out of there, and we're going to get you out. People still stayed behind.
Nice.
In Salina Point, five people stayed in Salina Point and rode out that storm. And we saw yesterday how bad Salina Point got hit. Salina Point is, probably the second hardest hit in the storm. And they stayed, And Salina Point is 47 miles from the nearest settlement, which is Spring Point.
Yeah, Ackland's is long. It's crazy long.
And for them, they were cut off because the road, the sea claimed the road, part of the road. So they were stuck there until help came.
Wow. So what I see happening in Ragged Island is two things. Wayne Monroe says that they're not going to allow it to be depopulated, et cetera, et cetera.
No one ever said it.
Right. No, he usually draws his own conclusions.
I understand that
people
are worried about. This was the same conversation about Crooked Island and Acklands and some other islands that were hit in Joaquin. These people should leave these islands. What sense does it make? They were devastated. Who's going to pay to rebuild these homes? These are people's homes. These are where some of them grew up there. They spent 60 years or more in this place. They're not leaving for anyone. Only death will move them from their homes.
Right. So no one expects Ragged Island to become a wasteland.
No, no. Yeah,
they're gonna work it out. But Minnis wants them to get out of there for a couple of days to do what? To kind of just clean the place
up? They want the defense force to come in to start clearing the debris. And they want the various organizations to come in and start making it habitable again. Putting in electricity, putting in water, fixing the clinic, fixing the school. I mean, those are necessities.
Mm-hmm.
For them.
Yeah, and that is part of it, because you wonder, okay, where will the children go to school?
what happens if there's no clinic, the airport's not functioning properly, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But then there is also this pioneer spirit on Ragged Island. I think you
and many family islands.
You got many family islands, and you got that a lot across in your story, where they're like, government who? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of them are like, we've been living here without we just got electricity about 15 years ago. You know what I mean? So we're not just waiting for the government to come tell us we can live or die. No. You know what I mean?
There's a divergent view among many Bahamians on the role of the government. And you will find that many people in the family islands, they don't care. They are going to make it on their own because that's how they got where they are.
Yeah.
The government didn't give them $50,000 and said, hey, start your life. These people, they have blood and they have dirt on their hands. You know what I mean? They struggled to get to make their living, and they will all, that's their spirit.
That they'll make it no matter what. Only death is going to keep it from them. Yeah. Let's go to another phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
All right, sir. And to the nation and to your guests. I think actually while I was holding, I think he answered a portion of my concern. Because I just heard them saying that, Ragged Island isn't livable. Now, I would be comfortable with Ragged Island isn't livable now. We need to evacuate. And then when the electricity and water and everything is restored, then you could come back and try to do some rebuilding. I don't know if I'm on board with the government going in there and rebuilding everybody's homes back to the way that it was. I would be willing to accept that maybe you would not be able to live here until we get the infrastructure back up to power. What I would not be willing to accept was, you know, this might happen the same time next year. And so we write off Ragged Island and we tell y'all don't live there. If y'all go, y'all on your own. Because, you know, then you leave it open to maybe some people with some serious money just say, well, hey, I'll go and live there. I'll put a little power plant there and what? Then what? They'll take over the place?
Yeah, that's a concern I think a lot of Ragged Islanders, people in the family islands have too. They don't want to leave their property because they fear someone will be there when they get back. That happens in Eleuthera.
Squatting.
By the McCartneys, they're watching your property for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So as long as the government intends to get back in there as soon as is financially feasible to begin restoring water, light, and phone and all that, and so the people who are indigenous to the area could get back in there, I'm all for that because, you know, it's easy for us to stand on the outside and say, well, you know, just move. But, you know, some people really love where they are, and it's hard to do that. So thank you for allowing me to contribute, sir.
No, thank you. And, you know, and you go to Ragged Island. Ragged Island's beautiful, firstly.
That's my regret. I've never been there yesterday.
It's beautiful.
So I only know it as what I... That's
right. You go there, and it's unspoiled. They got sharks that, nurse sharks or the nurseries are there. You know what I mean? And they got the nice... one side, they got the ocean. There's a nice deep harbor. I think they dredged the harbor themselves, actually. And then they did something for the Defense Force at gunpoint. And then they also have salt ponds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have a good friend of mine from Ragged Island. His mom gets salt, but like bags like big as you. You know what I mean?
So, Long Island too.
You know it's really
nobody
it's,
buys salt.
And the people who live there, they love living there. They fish their own food. They
don't live in New Providence for a reason.
They don't want to live here, right? You know. So what I see, and you may have a better idea of this. What I see or I anticipate what the government would do is say, okay, come off the island. Let us at least get BEC in there. Let's go, because the utility poles, they say most are snapped in half. That's how bad the wind was.
I believe all of them.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
think I saw one pole was down there.
Right. So let's put the electricity infrastructure back in. That's going to take at least, a few weeks if they're working double time, right? Mm-hmm. So put the electricity infrastructure back in. Get the water running. Do some repairs to some buildings. Clear the roads. Get rid of all the dead animals, all right? Whatever you have to do, bury them, burn them, et cetera, right? Go through that. Make sure that you can... decontaminate the wells, right? Clean the wells out and make it at least livable for even those who want to be there. And then I guess what they would do, and you may have a better idea of this, is it would get some of the Island Luck trailers. Remember they sent them to Crooked Island?
They're still
are they still in Crooked Island?
Yeah. Oh, some people are still living in them.
2 years later.
Yeah. They're still. Mind you, just talking about that juxtaposition, Crooked Island was so hard hit, you know. And, you know, going there yesterday, it was so good to see, you know, the development and the repairs that have happened there, you know.
Mm.
It gives you hope that, you know, Ragged Island can come back from this.
Right.
As hard as Crooked Island has hit, they're doing well. You know, they had power, they had water, they had every telecommunications. They were okay. It didn't look like a storm moved through there.
Right.
You know.
So they're recovering. So Ragged Island could definitely recover.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Good. Travis Cartwright, Carl, thanks so much for coming on with us. We're going to take a break. Great stories. Keep it up. We look forward to hearing more from it. In the Gassau Guardian, check out his stories today. Thanks a mil.
No problem.
All right.
Everybody has a favorite DQ Blizzard, but did you know you can get your favorite Blizzard treat as a custom cake? That's right, your favorite DQ Blizzard layered with vanilla soft serve, personalized for someone special, a special occasion, or just because. It's the Blizzard you've always loved in a whole new way, starting with the new DQ Mini Blizzard Cakes at only $17.99. These sweet treats are offered in a variety of shapes and sizes to match your occasion, and it's only from your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Let's all go to Dairy Queen.
Want to know more about personal injury, wills, divorce, company formation, conveyances, and mortgages? Then sign up for Hulsbury Chambers' annual free legal clinic on Saturday, September 16th, Village Road North. Call 393-4551 and reserve your spot today. Space is limited. Lawyers will be available from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is a community service event sponsored by Hulsbury Chambers. Hulsbury Chambers' annual free legal clinic. Saturday, September 16th, Village Road North. Don't miss it.
Get ready for the new school year with Marco's Back to School 5-Star Meal. Treat your family to a hot and cheesy extra-large one-topping pizza, oven-baked cheesy bread, and a refreshing 2-liter soda, all for just $19.99. Now that's a great deal you don't want to miss. Stop by your nearest Marco's today and enjoy our back-to-school 5-star meal. We've made this great special just for you. Marco's, authentic Italian pizza.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the family island.
I'm so excited. My brand new house just finished, and I went to CBS Bahamas to get just about everything I needed. I got all my bathroom fixtures, kitchen cabinets and supplies, indoor and outdoor decor, beautiful housewares, my Hurricane Impact certified windows and doors, electrical supplies and tools, everything to make my lawn and garden look good, and all my paint in the exact color I wanted. That's CBS Bahamas in the Southwest Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 677-2100.
Babe, where you feel like eating? I go to Checkers because sometimes you just want a meal. You want your meal fast, but you want your meal real. You don't want no frozen burgers or no frozen fries. You want some macaroni, that's Bahamian pride. No one represent Bahamas with the food like Checkers. Don't believe me? All you gotta do is Checkers. Peas and rice, pork chops, corn on the cob. The best choice for your lunch when you on the job. We got that real down home that'll fill your belly. We faster than fast food, fresher than a deli. Checkers, serving great Bahamian food since 1989.
Insurance might not be something you think about every day, but it's top of mind for us. We're Colina, the oldest and largest life and health insurer in the Bahamas, with the highest financial strength rating. And you're not just customers, you're family. That's why we're committed to giving you the very best. Affordable options, top quality service, and full coverage that's strong enough to carry you when you're at your weakest. Talk to us about comprehensive life or health insurance and put our financial strength to work for you. Visit us at Kalina.com or find us on Facebook.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Got an announcement for you here. Also, you can text us at 422-4796. Got an announcement for you here. The National Emergency Management Agency is sponsoring a Bahamas Air jet to Anagua tomorrow at 1 p.m. for people who were evacuated from that island by NEMA. The numbers to call for reservations are 322-6081 or 300-0144. That's a weird prefix. Anyway, that's what it says. So the numbers to call for reservations to that NEMA flight to Anagua tomorrow for evacuees are 322-6081 or 300-0144. That's to go back to Anagua. The all clear has been given for Anagua. All right. Now, let's deal with a few text messages if we can do that. All right. We also don't want to forget the other islands. Travis talked about Acklands, Salina Point. We also have Bimini that was hit by a tornado. We have Grand Bahama hit by several tornadoes. We also have our Bahamian brothers and sisters in the Turks and Caicos Islands who were very hard hit. And we need to really be looking out for them as well. So this makes a lot of sense, I believe, to try to clear out Ragged Island as best they can to get the streets clear, to make sure that it's sanitary and livable. But I understand the distrust that the people of Ragged Island have for government. They've not been treated well by government. They've been ignored for a long time by government, particularly given, I guess, the size of the population. So this is you know, not to be unexpected that some people would push back and say that they're not going to leave and that they want to stay, even though the situation is quite dire. But I do understand that people have been sending supplies there. How long those will last, what kind of shelter they'll have, these things are for questioning. I get the pioneer spirit, but I also get, like, using your head as well. So, to me, a lot of people on Ragged Island perhaps think it may be easier than it would be. I think manpower is something that they're sorely lacking. The population's not that big, and so they'd have to go one house at a time, really, with the kind of population they have. So it's really a case of how they're going to go about rebuilding without government assistance. But saying that the government does not have to assist them is not even a question. So the government has a responsibility where these islands are populated to make sure they at least have basic infrastructure and everything like this. All right. Let's go through a couple of text messages. You can also hit us up 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259, 325-4259. We're also going to talk about Bradley Roberts, who is, again, somewhere off practicing lunacy. He's he's sick. This is so stupid. This is so, so stupid. Bradley Roberts is asking if Ramal Ferreira is on leave. What is this? Due to assertions that he's in rehab or something like this? Anyway, Romy Ferreira responded in the Nassau Guardian, and he sent out a statement today basically telling Bradley Roberts that he's a disgrace for trying to stir up some political hornet's nest that Ferreira claims is totally untrue in the midst of a national crisis, which, you know, Bradley Roberts doesn't care. All right. Let's do this. Good sir, I'm wondering if the Bahamian public at large understands the gravity of the residents of Ragged Island. These people are being moved away from everything they know, everything they own, their way of life, their way of survival. That's a very hard thing to do. My heart goes out to them, and I pray for a speedy return to their island and their homes. I agree. It's what they do. It's what they know. They don't want to live here. They're not into it. So this is what they do. Let's go to phone call, then we'll do some more text messages. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. You're on air.
Hey, afternoon, Mr. Tani. Everything good?
Yes, man. Everything's good.
Yeah, I was listening to the show. Very interesting show. Boy, I ain't gonna lie. I felt that I had to say, you know, this is where we have to really second guess tourism as our main industry.
Got to.
Country. We have to second guess this. This is foolishness.
Got to.
I would think that we would have to be some of the most dumbest people in the world to be lacking leaders to talking with tourism. To be number one. I was, man, minister, please, don't come my way with talking like that. Because guess what? We could see this unsustainable for the taxpayers to afford for every hurricane to come, plus we pay for these people to be in these islands unproductive.
Absolutely.
They won't make nothing. Ain't nothing happening. We can't get what we putting back in. Not saying I'm down them, but when we have tourism as our number one industry, you know, you have people who can't even afford to even get basic food in our store. We're talking about funding schools and all type of stuff. I mean, we have to second guess because we need in those islands, people who are in those islands, like Inagua, who have salt, to really benefit from salt and let that grow the island.
Well, let's look at Ragged Island. Ragged Island was a they didn't get there by mistake, right? Ragged Island, they've been there for years and years. There used to be a salt plant there. It's called Duncantown because the guy who owned it, Duncan, was the guy who owned the salt processing factory down on Ragged Island. In the Great Depression, Ragged Island, the salt company closed and the population of Ragged Island diminished. There used to be over, in the 1930s, right, there were over 2,000 people living on Ragged Island, which is 9 square miles, right? It's like 3 miles by 3 miles. You know, they have salt comparable, I'm told, to Inagua.
So this is a statement to all governments and future governments. No production, no processing, no way. We can't afford it. It just doesn't make sense. It's just not. I'm being honest. They can't produce anything. You know? How could? I mean, that's foolishness. And then you say tourism is the number one industry. So if the whole country gets wiped out by a hurricane, like, what's next?
Yeah, exactly. Then you're lost, you see? But thanks for that, my brother. Appreciate the call. But it doesn't have to just be tourism, although Ragged Island does have its own little tourist economy as well. Lots of people come there for the unspoiled waters, for the fishing. It's near Blackbeard's well, right? Blackbeard's Key. They do a lot of fishing there. So you got a lot of private yachts come, and they want people, a lot of the fishermen, go there. So, and there's good fishing off Ragged Island, too. Lobster, grouper. Things of this nature, right? Barracuda, if that's your thing. Let me read this text, then we'll go to a phone call. Afternoon, Juan and guest. The tragedies on our family islands underscore the need for adequate insurance. Some are saying that government can't spend money every year repairing the damage from hurricanes. It's a harsh stance, but I agree. People should have their own insurance for their properties. However, it also requires laws be changed as coverage is too expensive. Also, if government is to make a mandatory evacuation bill, they should enforce it. Don't say they're not liable and then spend tax dollars anyway. All government buildings built going forward should be made to withstand Cat 5 conditions. I agree on that. I disagree that the government's going to rebuild people's personal homes. I think that they can assist with that, but I think that you should make sure your home is insured, and if your home is not insured, then you need to figure out some way to be able to pay for that now. Some people are unable to rebuild their homes. They're on fixed incomes. They're elderly, et cetera, and they can look for government assistance, but it's not to say that if everyone's home gets destroyed, the government can rebuild it. That would require more than the national budget. Well, not on Ragged Island, but let's extrapolate that to the Bahamas, and we'll see what we're talking about. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
We got enough money in Switzerland in one bank account, $7 billion. That'd be enough to build every home nice and concrete, elevated, round, with a high-pitched concrete roof.
That's right.
Say, 200, 300 mile an hour.
With solar.
You know what? For sure. But you know what I enjoy? Listening.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to no ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at Ragged Island. And just above it, where you got Acklands and Crooked Island, Galena Point. Devastated.
Mm-hmm.
You give me a Bahamian, Acklands and Crooked Island. We got fiber there. Our number one industry should be technology. Everything that happens in South America and the Caribbean going on its way to New York passes through our country. One technology hub because of our strategic location on the planet. Get those planes flying overhead. I know money.
Yeah, and Ragged Island's closer to Cuba than it is to Nassau.
That's right. But you look at that Acklands and Crooked Island, right? You see that sound in the middle there?
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yep.
I'd have that condoed right out. That'd be crawfish heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can get in there to steal them. No Dominican.
That's true.
And that's on the fishing side, on the manual labor side, on the technology side. Give me a runway there that can land jets. I'll make that a global corporate headquarters for this hemisphere. 1% tax. I'd have every business in America there. And we'd have the best homes built out of concrete to take tornadoes. See, we're not forward thinking. And so we're stuck in analog timber-rich technology, but we don't want to fish. We don't want to grow no food. Listen, let's do it high tech. Let's move the country forward. You can turn all those keys around. I don't say populate them. I say get some of the congestion on Nassau down there. But let's build smart, sensible buildings for a hurricane belt. But anyway, we're just beating up our guns, and I see the time. Have a good one, eh?
Yep, you too. Also, you know, there's the thing about it is when you look at the Bahamas, right, on a map, and you also look at like the cluster of islands, right, that we're flying planes back and forth. There's no need for all of this. We can have sensible ferry systems and depopulate Nassau, and people can work and live on these other islands with ferry systems back and forth, okay? Eleuthera is very close to Cat Island. Cat Island is very close to San Salvador and Rum Key, and they're close to Long Island. Long Island's close to Exuma. Long Island's close to Acklands. You see what I'm saying? We can have more connectivity in our islands, but right now we live in these silos, right? And pray that we get some tourists here and some tourists there. Eleuthera's pretty close to Abaco. Abaco's pretty close to Grand Bahama. You know, this isn't impossible, right? Nassau to Andros will be difficult because that's really, 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 really deep water, but still. And it'll probably take billions to build bridges and ferry systems, but then look what it would do for our economy, right? And we could start with the energy part of it. But these are the conversations that should come out of having these national tragedies. It should be a time of reflection, and you understand where we're going from here. Usually what happens is we just pour vitriol on it, and we start judging each other, and we start having nonsensical conversations. I was monitoring a conversation about mandatory evacuations last night on Facebook, and it was just the level of ignorance and an inability to look at comparative places where there are mandatory evacuations. What happens is so lacking in this country, right? I just hear people talking about I'm going to get my gun. If you try to move me, evacuate me, I'm going to shoot at you. No, that's not even what anyone's talking about. right? We got to start elevating the level of conversation that we have, or at least step into it with some sort of perspective on how things work in the world, or how something would practically work, as opposed to just working ourselves up into a frenzy. All right. This is after a hurricane. After a hurricane, after a gas shortage, Florida gas price is $2.74. Our gas price is almost $5. People of the Bahamas, you're being exploited in every area of your life in the Bahamas. Yeah, I'm going to look at that, not right now, but I'm going to look at the gas price thing too. I can't do it all. I got a whole list here. Hello, Juan. I'd like to make a suggestion with regard to the building of Ragged Island. Instead of using RBDF for cleanup and rebuilding of that island, why can't the government utilize prisoners? Obviously not those in maximum security, but rather the first-time offenders, those on charges for minimum amounts of marijuana, etc. This way they can learn a trade and possibly earn a small stipend. Obviously, you still need to have a small team of prison officers, police officers for order, and possibly two or one reputable construction companies who these guys, the prisoners, can work under. Those same cots being used for the evacuees can be used on the island, and there are at least two structures on that island that can be used for lodging, just a thought. That's not a bad idea. That may be a more complicated idea than sending a defense force who will just go ready one time, but that's not a bad idea. We also have to look at the legal ramifications of that as well. Do we change the law for all this, et cetera, et cetera? All right. It says, how many families live on Ragged Island? What's the main source of income? I believe fishing, salt. These are the main sources of income on Ragged Island. Legitimate sources, anyway. This would be a good time to implement that dual residency plan. Houses where a resident lives on one side, puts the other side on Airbnb. Also an opportunity to lay out the development in an attractive manner, make it look like an island version of Marina Village, plan a tourist experience around the entire island, an experience that shows them how to live off the land, go in the bush, catch fish, bake bread outside, etc., etc. Maybe a partnership between islands where tourists can pay a reasonable price to spend two nights on three islands with a different experience on each island. And you can ask Sarkis to help. That's not a bad idea at all. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
It's summer, and Commonwealth Bank wants to know, are you set? Get set for all your summer expenses with a personal loan from Commonwealth Bank. Get cash for summer travel, back to school, whatever you need, with fast approval and great service. Plus, there are weekly cash prizes and a grand prize of $5,000. Get a MasterCard, too, for everyday expenses. So, get set. Get ready and get over to Commonwealth Bank today.
Want to know more about personal injury, wills, divorce, company formation, conveyances, and mortgages? Then sign up for Hulsbury Chambers' annual free legal clinic on Saturday, September 16th, Village Road North. Call 393-4551 and reserve your spot today. Space is limited. Lawyers will be available from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is a community service event sponsored by Hulsbury Chambers. Hulsbury Chambers' annual free legal clinic. Saturday, September 16th, Village Road North. Don't miss it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're talking after Irma. We're also talking about a couple other issues going on Bradley Roberts and Romy Ferreira, I don't get it. Sure, whatever. I did yesterday wonder where is the Minister of Environment in all this. His voice has been rather quiet, but Bradley Roberts is clearly on another run altogether. Let me read for you Bradley Roberts' statement. Let me find it here. I don't understand sometimes. But, you know, it is what it is. Let me see here if I can find this. Also, I'm going to try to help you understand how you can get some help to the people of Ragged Island. All right, I don't see Bradley Roberts' thing right here. I'm going to find it for you and then get into it in a minute here. Let's go back to your text messages. Also, you can call me at 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259, 325-4259. Let's see here. Afternoon, Juan. Part of what government needs to do to begin to make those people feel safe on Ragged Island is to restore the island to as close as it can to its original topography, and by that, it means removing roads from coastal zones, replenishing beach and coastal habitats and mangroves. That's a major part of building their resilience and ability to withstand another major hurricane. Yeah. And the crazy part about it is those houses were built well with concrete and clips and everything, and that hurricane just chewed them up. Like nobody's business. The government buildings especially are built to code. All right? So it's a very frightening prospect that something that powerful could hit it. The next part of it, and we'll get into this, is the people, the psyche of the people after the hurricane. The kids, right? The homeowners, the people who've worked there, like Travis Cartwright told you, they seem like they're still processing what's happened to them. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
We are so grateful that no life was lost in the whole Bahamas. Especially in my island, Ragged Island.
Oh, you're from Ragged Island.
Oh, it's a little jewel in the Nile. My mother is right beside me. She is 94 years old.
Wow.
And she is one of the oldest among us here now in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
We have Nita Lockhart also. She is a couple of days older than my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, there is no reason why Defense Force officers have to be in place to clean up Ragged Island without some of the residents there.
Mm.
If they feel as if they can manage being there while the cleanup is going on and the rebuilding,
mm-hmm.
so be it.
Okay.
That's their way of life.
Yeah.
My sister Maxine Wallace and her husband Daniel Wallace, who is the catechist for the Anglican Church, he weathered the storm, but my sister came here because she has a daughter who is disabled.
Mm.
But my aunt's twin sisters, Sheila Curlin and Florinda Hepburn, they reside there. Their homes were destroyed. But they know that once they have some supplies, with manpower, they can have their homes up and livable in a week or two.
Yeah, the manpower, that's the issue.
The manpower
and supplies.
The supplies are going there.
Yeah.
You rally around some carpenters and some builders, and you don't send them before the supplies reach. They either go on the boat with the supplies or they meet the supplies there.
Right.
And you will be you have a week of good days. Good days, no rainy days.
Mm-hmm.
You can have those homes up and ready and livable in a few days.
A few days sounds ambitious.
I am a builder. I am a contractor.
So a few days sounds doable?
Pardon?
Well, a few days sounds ambitious, but the foundations are still there.
No, the foundation, yes, they would have no other choice but to repair the homes that they have,
right,
existing homes, if they want to live there. And they would have to take in a few boarders also,
right,
for a few who want to remain there to start fishing and earning a living.
Right.
Right. They would have to take in a few boarders. I don't think they mind that. They would have to work together. Meanwhile, us who live here and our friends abroad, we will be collecting money to help them out.
I like your spirit.
Yes, we are going to do this.
I like your spirit.
Double Lockhart. Double Lockhart. Melanie Double Lockhart Cartwright. This is going to be done.
I like what you're saying. So
yes,
you.
When I look at what can be done from, or what I was able to accomplish in my lifetime, and I hear we borrowing $1 billion, we pay $1 million to do this. $300,000, we don't even hear. I haven't heard that for a long time. All I've been hearing is millions and billions.
right, yeah.
And what are we seeing for it?
Nothing, right, yeah.
And you are going Zilch. To take peace and comfort from human beings. Jesus said if it was only one, he was going to come back for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one.
But let me ask you this. If you stay in there, what about your electricity? What about your water?
We lived for many years without electricity and water. You just have to go back. What about these Haitian who've been in the Haitian village? How were they living without electricity and water? We witnessed it, right?
Yeah, but it can be done. It's not very comfortable.
Yeah. It's not very comfortable. But even during the hurricane, on my street, I got light a week after most of the residents on my street.
Mm.
Last hurricane. 1 week later, I watched the light all around me.
Right.
But it was three, maybe side corners, and about seven or eight houses in my strip.
Mm-hmm.
We only could look at the lights around us. We had none.
So I think I'm kind of with you. I think if the proper resources were poured into it, because it's only, what, like 50 homes or so, if that?
Yeah, but whatever it is, those are the people, that's their way of life. That's how my sister has a store there. Drugs and Notion. Maxine Wallace, Drugs and Notion.
Mm.
And she sells whatever the people on the island need to purchase. Whatever they don't send to Nassau for themselves or they run out, they are able to purchase from her. She is also the one who started the Valentine Yacht Club.
Mm.
Every Valentine. This last, in the past, close to 10 years now, she has been having it. It went from maybe like 26 yachts up to 80 to 90-something yachts.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
You heard about it, and when I go on board, I came in from Abaco, and I got on board, and I touched base with tourism, and I told them what I needed. Now, they needed to hear from her, but they took my word for it to a certain extent. They started getting some stuff. And we were able to get jungle costumes and musical equipment, and we had that thing going, and it's been going well on donations from family and friends and those yachters. And each year, I witness it, each yacht take one item onto the beach. They have a raffle, and they raise money for the school.
Mm.
I witness it. $900 and something, and someone hold up their hand and say, I round it off to $1,000. And that's what they raise for the school.
Yeah.
That's the year that I was there.
So you don't feel as though people should be made to leave if they don't want to?
No, I don't think they should be made to leave.
Okay.
Because they have enough to keep them to survive. They have enough. They have life, they have gold, and they can go and get their own conch and fish to keep them, and whatever else that they need. They know that it's going to be hardship. If they get sick, well then, if they can communicate that to somebody, then it will be on them to get international if the government refused to send an airplane. The government hasn't done that much for this island.
Yeah, I heard that.
Over, you've seen all the other islands who were damaged and they had to be repaired. This is the first time that Ragged Island now is crying out and needs repair. But this is the third hurricane in a row that hit that island. Those homes have been compromised now from Joaquin, Matthew, and now Irma. This is not a one-time thing.
So what about the water, though?
The water, we have some wells there, and we can send water.
But the wells are going to be contaminated because
the
of
the... The wells can be contaminated. We'll send water.
Okay.
We'll send water. We are prepared to send water.
You sound...
And what we don't send, they're dead in salt water.
Don't do that.
Huh?
I said, don't do that.
They could bathe in salt water. What you think? They're not ashamed to say they could bathe in salt water. Then they take their bath in the salt water. Then they only got to rinse off in the good water, right?
Okay.
All right. So you sound like... You learn how to economize and how to do this.
You said you're inspiring me. I feel...
Darling, if you see my preparation when I out here in my house...
Okay, you're ready
I
to go.
Wood in my house with hammer and nails in case my door starts to come in.
Wow.
I single-handedly had my double doors with the bolts up and down, the steel doors, but I buttoned them up from the bottom to make sure no air got in.
Mm.
I strained myself, must be about twice, preparing for this hurricane.
You did this yourself?
I did it, and I had some help. I had some workers come in and help me a little bit. Volunteers, not workers.
Wow.
People who I know came in and helped me a little bit, but all in all, for all what I had to do, I still suffered a little strain.
What's your name again?
My name is, listen to me, Vaughn Aubrey is my classmate.
Okay.
So
okay.
You ask him.
Okay.
You ask Vaughn. Vaughn, Paul, Fernanda, Vaughn, Cornliffe, Darren, Bernadette, the GHS class of 1976.
GHS, all right, I got
GHS
you.
GHS class of 1976.
Right. Well, you've impressed me. You've inspired me as well. I hope everyone in Ragged Island shares your spirit. All right. Thanks so much. That was something. She's a soldier, huh? Let's go to another phone call. If they're still there. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
What happened to all them trailers that came from the last storm?
They, Travis was saying they're still on Crooked Island. What happened to him? Oh, well, whatever. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Maybe Sebastian could get some more. I don't know. 323-6232. 323-6232. She made me. I want to go build a house now. I'm ready, Kirby. Let's go. I don't know if I go all the way to Ragged. But I go build one addition right now. A shed. Something. 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. And 325-4259. 325-4259. You know when you feel super lazy? Like, you don't want to do nothing. You don't want to go out in the yard. And then you see, like, your grandma out in the yard. Like, picking, cleaning and weeding. That's what my grandmother was when I was a teenager. When I was a kid, you know. She died when I was in my early 20s. But Marjorie. But she was a soldier, man. She'd be outside. She'd be like, y'all still asleep? What happened? Goats and chickens. All right. Let's go to phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Brother Vaughn, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How's it going?
Nice, thanks. When you echo the word, when the Prime Minister echoed the word, ghetto and ghetto now, I don't think he realized the psychological effect that had on persons who would have spent their entire life on an island,
mm-hmm.
who already used their space and their independence.
Mm.
I think that, I mean, while it may be an emergency, and while they saw the need to get people out so because of the living condition, I think we got to be more humble in terms of how we echo words. I think that was a final nailing, and people probably know that they may leave a home that they spend their entire life, probably 50, 60 years. Even if that was a government intent, you know, we got to be, use more wisdom and how we use words.
What would you have preferred him to say?
Not just get out and get out now. You know, you talking to people who have anchored their entire life. Some of those people would prefer not to live in those homes. They have the roof patched up, knowing that they're still where they want to be. And I think the quickest way to see those people dwindle now in their health is to move them out of their home with no intent of letting them go back.
You sure you're reading the situation correctly? They don't have homes. Like, hello? Okay, you got to, a lot of the elderly people left. There's still a few there. There are not that many people who live on Ragged Island. But I don't know that people telling them to get out would have done any psychological harm, but that's, we differ, I guess, in our opinion on that. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon, are you there? Oh, okay. Well, they just hang up. Wasn't that long. 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. And 325-4259. 325-4259. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. How you doing?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
Hey, Sparky here.
Hey, Sparky.
You know, our prayers, all thoughts go out to brothers and sisters in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And the North, Germany and Freeport, whoever got damaged, you know. You know, a lot of people, some people seem to be taking this like a joke, because I asked the question the other day. Everybody leaving their island, coming to New Providence to look for better their life and, like, you know, education and everything.
Right.
But nobody never wants to go back to build. They expect the government to build the island. I think it's really difficult for the government to build each island one by one. They had a prime minister was in charge of one portion of an island for 25 years.
And nothing happened.
Hello?
And nothing happened. Piceville still staring up with a basketball court to go.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
They told me, a lot of people tell me, say, for me going down there 25 years, after 25 years being there, it looked just the same as any place going down there.
Right.
With the people in down there on their own, most of them, he told contractors and everybody, come to Nassau, we could build Yellow Wells in some place for you, we could get your contract in Nassau. So when you come to Nassau, you meet one girl from Exuma, you get married, you have your children here, your children go from here off to the United States school. Nobody never go back to our island.
Yeah.
They go back for regatta and funeral and wedding. That's about it, right? So when the foreigners come in there, and the foreigners like the beautiful beaches, and the foreigners want to build the island, then you say you're selling it to the foreigners. You understand what I'm saying?
True.
If the people don't want to build their island, I'd expect to go. See, I born in Chippenham, so you can't blame me. I don't have no island to go back to.
Okay.
My mother born in Camp Road. My old man born in West Street. I born in Chippenham.
Right.
So I need to go down there on a regatta, or if somebody take me on a trip. I can't go down there. I can't even afford to go to that island because the food and everything too expensive down there for me to go to.
No, you gotta know people when you go down there.
Yeah, I gotta have one friend say from Regatta and say, he tell his mother I come in down to spend one weekend and she feed me and help me out because I can't afford the food down there.
Yeah.
One, I go on the Bryland one time and the little small little bowl of chicken sauce, two pieces of chicken, one slice of tomato, potato and one onion ring, it cost me $12. I could buy a whole chicken and make a whole sauce for that. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
But I understand the cost of living is high because we got to ship everything there. They got to pay for everything to leave the capital.
Yeah.
But if everybody come to Nassau to live in Nassau, what could happen? Answer this question, one. What happened if a hurricane come up the middle of the chain and hit the capital, New Providence, and Nassau, and devastate Nassau the way Barbuda them? Where they gonna airlift us to? Which island they gonna carry us to?
Nowhere. We'll be screwed.
We'll be what?
Yeah, screwed. Screwed, blued, and tattooed. Listen, people do go back to the island. I'm a McCartney, and we are deep in Tarpon Bay. The Majors, the Smiths. My grandmother was Margaret Major. My grandfather's John McCartney, and they came from Eleuthera to Nassau for a better life. And many of their family members and their children, and grandchildren, we go back. I haven't been back in a while, but I got some generation property, that I'm looking at investing in, you know, just for a nice place to have. Not everybody doesn't go back, but we do have a lot of abandonment of our family islands. We do need to look at that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there? No. Nope. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. What is it? Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, bro?
Hey, Anton. What's up?
Radio, man. Everybody abandoning shipping.
I guess so. I mean, give me 30 seconds. Goodness.
Like, yeah, I was listening to the conversation with the lady, 76 from JHS.
Right.
Who did all the work, etc.
I think her name was Cartwright or something like that.
Okay, I didn't catch the name. I was inspired by her conversation as well. But even before that, one, I gave some thought to what Prime Minister has announced, mm-hmm. as it relates to the devastation in Ragged Island, right?
Right.
And the intentions of the government. And one, please bear with me for a moment. Let me just develop what I'm trying to say, especially because everybody abandoning you today, right? That should give me a little bit of time. One, look, we are all behemoths, okay? That's the first premise that has to be considered, right?
Mm-hmm.
These behemoths have existed on these family islands, on these old islands, no matter how remote they are, no matter how deserted they are, no matter how limited they are in terms of development, these behemoths have lived on these family islands for decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
That has to be worth something at the end of the day.
Generations, okay? Yeah, generations.
You know, you don't just uproot persons out of their communities without a plan to replant them back in their community, okay? There has to be an end game, and that end game, If it is not to replant them back in their communities, it has to be something that's acceptable, because at the end of the day, the governor of the Bahamas is just governor on behalf of behemoths, right? Here's another implication one. If the government can make a determination after devastation and stating and justifying that the health issues will grow more and more as the days go by, there's no water, there's no electricity, there's no whatever the case may be, one, we have at least 30 other communities in this country today where those exact kinds of conditions exist. And we don't even have hurricanes in those communities. Those are communities that have been existing in many instances for decades. You mm-hmm. understand what I'm saying? Do you want?
I think so. You want minister to do what, though? Like, leave them there? I don't get
it. No. What I'm saying, let me just spell it out clearly. We have illegal communities in the country, right, Juan?
Are you talking about shanty towns?
Right.
Man, listen. Shanty listen town. To me. Listen
all
to me.
All across the country, right, Juan?
I want you to listen to something.
Okay.
Anton, listen to me.
All right.
I kid you not, and I'm talking to Romy Ferrer about this, and who's it? Brent Simonette?
Uh-huh.
I went in the back of Fox Hill South the other day,
right.
And there is a shanty town in the back there with, right. like, three-story buildings, man.
Right.
And several roads going through it. I was in utter shock. I was like, how could this exist in New Providence?
Right.
And nobody say a word.
Right.
And they were looking at me like, I'm the outsider. Like, who is you?
Yes. What are you doing here? I don't want it. This draws back to the point that I'm trying to make, one. If we are able to make determination on the drop of a dime to uproot behemoths in naturally devastated communities, we should be able to make determinations otherwise, to regularize other communities that aren't in line or that are not conforming with the rules and regulations of living in the country.
I got
getting you. Getting back to Ragged Island. Look, one, I don't believe that any behemoth government should just make a determination to move behemoths out of a community that they have built up and they have resided in independently for decades without having a plan, a concrete plan, to put those people back or to restore them back to some level of normalcy if you're going to uproot them from what they know, from all they know for all their lives. That's what I think it is at the end of the day, one, for a behemoth government. We have to be concerned. We have to show this care. We have to show this love. And these are all action words. And so we have to have a plan in the short, medium, and long term. And so I'm listening, Prime Minister, I'm Hubert Minister. You've been making some very good decisions, but I'm listening to hear what you're going to do for our brothers and sisters in this particular community in terms of restoring them back to some level of normalcy in their life, not just to uproot them from what they've known all their life.
Okay. Thanks, man. Well, Parliament reconvenes on Wednesday, tomorrow, so we'll see. Let me do some text messages. It says, good day. Just with the prospect of the complete evacuation of Ragged Island residents with aim to rebuild, this presents an excellent opportunity to have Ragged become the pioneer, a template which can be eventually adopted on a national level for renewable, sustainable energy production and distribution, solar and hydroelectricity, coastal desalination plants to provide consistent potable water, more ergonomic design housing, more ergodynamic housing design, e.g. more circles, less angles, and development of a new eco-industries. Apart from multinational entities which look for such projects to invest in, the people of Ragged Island can also play a vital role by being offered first option to purchasing common shares, as well as being used as key rebuilding workforce members. All right? That's a good one. I got a lot of text messages here. Let's go to phone call real quick. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes. I just want to share my experience. I lived through, I wasn't walking in South Long Island, but I went on the UG the days afterwards.
Oh, okay.
I got up there, and I lived through it. And I noticed people in Ragged Island could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to leave. Yes, all the folks would need to get out. Yes, they need to get out. But people who need to rebuild their house,
mm-hmm.
they could do it. I did it in Long Island.
Mm.
When I reached on Long Island in Townstown on the Wednesday after that Saturday of walking,
mm-hmm.
I got a ride to my house. I couldn't live in it. I stayed on the boat that night because it stayed there. And the next morning, and I live in my house for until the end of November before I get electricity. We got a little portable generator. My brother's house is damaged also. I stay in my house in the, we wake hand in hand. We get water, people supply us with water, bottled water. And like what they said, that most of the people in Ragged Island, they have rainwater tank also.
That sounds like a terrible experience.
But it's livable. See, you cannot move everybody over to Ragged Island. The people who can rebuild, they have to steady rebuild. You don't have the defense force to rebuild your home. My house, I live in my house with no doors, with no door on it, right? For about at least 3 weeks before I get my doors and everything in and put back.
So it didn't.
I live on the water. My brother lived in land. We had one generator. We share it, right? So what I do in the day, the generator will come by me today and run my fridge, get cool water, and he take my legs. I can keep my doors open and the cool breeze. I was good.
Okay.
He's fine home by him.
Okay.
But it's livable, so don't try to move the people out. Yes. Give the people the option if they want to go. They'll have the free ride out. Yes.
I think that's what it is, you know. I don't think Minister's saying, y'all get out of here now, or I can, you know, we can round y'all up and put y'all on a boat. I think he's saying, we would like you to leave. You know, I think that's what he's saying. I didn't hear the forcefulness, like, that some people are thinking it's a demand, you know? Where'd he go? I wanted to talk to him. Okay. You sure you didn't cut him? All right. Anyway. That's an interesting, so you say. That's an interesting conversation that he's having. And he went and rebuilt his home on Long Island. And a lot of people are willing to do that, you know? I guess I'm not as tough as a lot of the island folk. I'm a city guy. I don't know if I'm sleeping in a house without doors. If I got no electricity for one night, I'm pissed off. So, you know, my experience is different. But he makes a point. A lot of people have rainwater tanks on those islands so they can replenish the water supply. But I think we do need to have a period of clearance where the RBDF and BEC can come through and do their work, even if it's a week, 2 weeks. And so I'm hoping to hear a more articulated plan from Binnis, from whomever, tomorrow when Parliament reconvenes. Right? So that's the thing. And I don't know. I don't know that anyone's saying get out or we're going to lock you up. What I hear is they're saying, we would like you to come stay in Nassau. We would like you not to stay here. But I don't hear anyone saying you have to get off your property. Those are fighting words. All right? Okay. It says, Juan, did you know Long Key was a transshipment point between South America and North America during the construction of the Panama Canal? I did not know that. Long Key used to be a city in the 1920s and 30s. Now there's only about 10 people living on Long Key. Meguana, too. You know, we screwed up in this country. We screwed a lot of crap up. Seriously, we could have been a lot farther ahead. Right? Further, farther, further, further ahead. But we screwed it up. We're not going to cast blame today, but, you know, there was so much opportunity. And we screwed up, but now our family islands look like desolate places, and people like eke out their own existence. And you're the lady from Ragged Island. She says we don't look to the government for nothing. I think they didn't get electricity till Ingram got there, right? So they don't look to the government for anything. That's how we've treated these people, the Haymans. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Vaughn. I was listening to the lady from Ragged Island. That's my mother's hometown.
Oh, okay, wow.
And what my point I wanted to say from the Wilson side is we are criticizing our own Bahamians and saying that we're lazy and we're looking at to depend on the government for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a classic example to show you that those people are salt of the earth.
Uh-huh.
They're willing to do the best they can.
Yeah.
And they're not asking for anything. So any assistance they can get, I know they would be delighted to stay in their town. Because I know four families are ready to go back to Ragged Island.
Right.
They're just waiting to get everything in order.
They'll do what they have
to
do.
So I don't believe that our Prime Minister is wanting them to leave. But he wants to help them out to make sure they're safe in a clean environment.
Exactly. Right.
But I'm going to tell you, though, that's what those people in the island is all about. They are hardworking people willing to make the sacrifice in their country to do the best they can.
Right.
And we will support them. The Bahamian people will come together and make sure every island in this rock will be okay.
I agree with you.
That's my comment.
Thank you for that. That's very good. I appreciate it. Yeah, and she showed me what the spirit of, the family islands are about, particularly Ragged Island. They do it by themselves. But I have a very good friend. My best friend, his family's from Ragged Island, and he always tells me, like, they don't ask for anything. They do for themselves. You know what I mean? And when I was talking to him today, I was like, how are they going to rebuild? And he was like, we could do it. We could do it. I was like, no, man, there's no water. There's no electricity. He's like, we can go do it. He was like, if I didn't have small kids, I would be going down there now to go do it. He said his family's house has been destroyed. And he said, he told me, he said, they will do it. He said, we don't ask them for anything. He was like, we'll go trade with Cuba. We'll go trade with DR, whoever. We'll go do it. It's fine. We'll get it done. If Nassau won't help us, we'll do it. That's what they said. But at the very same time, I think they do need some time to make the island clean and livable and safe, right? Without all the dead, rotting carcasses, make sure the wells are okay, clear the streets, try to put some of the infrastructure back up. And, you know, we'll see what kind of time period Minnis is talking about as far as getting them off the island. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hi, Vaughn. I could identify with the gentleman who called earlier about, going back to Long Island from Clarencetown.
Right.
Because I also have a house in Long Island, and actually it got damaged really bad in walking.
Mm-hmm.
And actually a hole, about a 30-foot section of my roof was gone with the beams and everything.
Wow.
And actually, I went up to Long Island. It was on a Sunday, right after the hurricane. And when I opened my door, I actually felt like turning around and getting on the plane and going back to Nassau.
And giving up, huh?
But, yeah, but actually, I decided to go in because all my ceilings was on the ground. I could hardly get the door open. And like I said, a whole 30-foot section of my roof was gone. And I stayed there, and I slept at night looking up at the stars, and my bedroom, part of the ceiling was out, and part of it was still on. But all the kitchen area and the dining area, that ceiling, that was gone. So I was sleeping at night looking up at the stars. And yeah, and I just started the bill, and it's been 2 years later, and I finally got it back to normal. I'm just about there. And so I don't really identify with the idea of just taking up and deserting, leaving your island because of devastation. Because, you know, everybody suffers devastations around the world. And, you know, some people may get out and go. But if that's your livelihood, that's where you were born, I was actually born in Long Island. My heart, I live in Nassau, but, you know, I did build a second home there. And, you know, so when I retired, at least I could have somewhere to go back and forth. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to go to live or this and that. So that was my reason for doing it. And but yeah, I worked, and little by little, I did most of the work myself. I went back up every so often, and today my house is back to normal. But like I said, we have to learn. We have to put a plan in place where I think we have to learn how to build smart. I mean, you know, we have to build our homes more stronger. I think in the sense if it's concrete, I just think we need to build walls that are. That are maybe a little wider than just one single 8-inch block. Maybe we need to put a double block.
Yeah, or something, or fill it with concrete.
And
Go
up and maybe round, like some people had, you know, said. I think that's a good idea, where you have like a cone roof at home.
Right.
And just build in order to withstand, and you know, and you just endure, and you live, and, you know. But these things will happen. I mean, as long as you live over all around the world, you can have these problems, you can have disasters. So, and one of the things I think, you can't run. You got to just, you know.
You got to dig in. You got to do it. You got to.
Just do it. You can't, yeah. I mean, make up your mind and just live. But
are we going to live, or are we going to die, right?
Yeah, right.
That's it.
We're going to die. So as long as we're here, we can't run nowhere. Like we say, and everywhere in the Bahamas is low. I mean, you know, so we just have to, like people have been saying, we need to have a contingent plan in place where we start to work smarter and know that we're living in hurricane zone, and this is the way of life. And so we just learn to work with it and deal with it and live and just let it happen, you know?
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's what we need, stickability.
Yep, you're right. And that's, we lost something of that, eh? When we became the Nassau, we lost that island mentality. My uncle George, on my father's side, he's deceased now. He was like the hardcore Lutheran man, you know. Built everything. He was a hog farmer, right? Hardcore man. He would build the pens. He would work. You know what I mean? He would work from morning till night. One of the hardest working men I ever knew. He was like 6'5". He had that real island mentality. If he would build a house, you know what I mean? If he had to, he never gave up. Never. And that's the mentality that we have on a lot of the islands. Let me read this text real quick before we go to a phone call. We're running out of time. This says, I prepared a proposal for NEMA almost 2 years ago to convert shipping trailers into homes and to have hundreds ready for when disaster hits any of our islands. It's ridiculous to see how backward we are intentionally. It costs less than $3,000 to convert the trailers. His response was, wow, I never thought of this. 2 years later, we're still at the same point. We're really a sad nation. The trailers could also be outfitted with solar. And that's from DJ Counselor. Shout out to DJ Counselor out there. Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Let me see. One more call, and then we got to go to... no calls? No calls. All right. Well, you can let them call. I'll read the text messages in the meantime. This says, the less populated islands need to be consolidated. Hurricanes are only getting stronger and bigger. If we're not building round concrete-type homes, we will continue to rebuild over and over. I tell you what, do yourself a favor. Go read the story about the Lady Bassett from Turks in the paper today, the Nassau Guardian, page 6, about she's a Bahamian living in Turks. Go read her experience, what she went through in that hurricane in Turks, man. And it's frightening, I tell you. Let's go to phone line quickly. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there? I just answered the phone. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Yes, welcome to the revolution.
Yeah. No, what I don't understand, what they expect the Dr. Menace to do within these couple of months. This one talking about what he should do, the next one talking about what he should do. What in the devil have they done? And this Anton always calling up and suggesting this and say why he didn't suggest that to Perry. They who they should have been talking to. Look how the PLP leave them. Up there still battening up and the house is all dropping down. These people should be shaming their doggone selves, especially the PLP government. Shouldn't even hear about them again.
Yeah.
And Anton always, I don't know why there's encourage him on this show. He should have been talking when Perry was there. Nobody could open the mouth with Perry. But every damn thing is minutes. And Dr. Minutes, God sent him. And he's going to stay there and he can make the two terms and bring this place back to where it's supposed to be. No law, no order. But the PLP let him run and do what they feel like doing, spend up all the money. Where's the money? They'll know between now and this month.
All right. Thank you. I want to know where the money is, too. I won't lie to you. I'm still waiting to hear what happened to the $150 million. Let me read some text messages. This says, good day, sir. Did you see the stupidness Fred Mitchell was running on about with Nikki Kelly yesterday? What do you think is wrong with him? Many things. Many, many things are wrong with Fred Mitchell. Good day, Juan. I would hope government would take this time to put utility lines underground and do away with these wooden poles and overhead lines. Ragged Island is small enough for this to be accomplished. Also, make the streetlights solar-powered. Yeah, I don't see why all the streetlights aren't solar-powered. It says, Juan, if everyone had the spirit of that lady caller, the Bahamas would be a better place. I agree. Juan, the government needs to take back all the land what these pastors get during the election for community centers, and they never built anything on. They should use that land to build shelters for the people on Family Islands and for the people in Nassau if they lost their homes from any hurricanes. All right, let's take one more call, and then we're done with the calls. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Good afternoon, Rakatney. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Hello?
Yeah, you know, we had plans in place for these things a long time ago. If you look at the roundhouses down at Yale Elder Garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, listen here. They're the ideals. They were the ideals of. I was working at Standard Plumbing then when they brought them in. And they were given to senior men and stuff like that to do. And they're the ideal things out there. But now that we have technology, we could build them 5 to 7 feet off the ground, put a tank to the bottom of it, and you actually, most of the house in those olden days used to have tank underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And to catch the rainwater.
Yeah.
But our problem is we get too polarized with this color. We talk about going back. Sure. What we need to is another thing. What to be done is send some surveyors down there and surveyor Meguana and Nagua, and give the people the property. And the thing it is, give them paper.
Yeah.
But everybody who get property, they lease it. It's a lease. Long as you pay tax, you got the property. When you don't pay tax, it goes back to the government. But the thing it is, everybody got polarized with this PLP and F&M stuff. They don't sit down to think. Everybody's thinking about themselves.
Yeah, and we stay and then we go in circles all around. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. This text, a couple of texts before we get out of here. It says, we can't fully blame the government for not developing these family islands. There are more Ragged Islanders on Nassau than Ragged Island. Nobody goes back to that island to help develop. That text writer might have a point. It says, hello, Juan. On a serious note, building infrastructure for an island is not that simple and very costly. We should leave Ragged Island abandoned. In a few years, we will remember when people used to live there. On a lighter note, how about leading the charge for legalizing strip clubs? I'm going to not touch that at all. One, isn't the McCartney family originally from North Haiti, the dirt poor part, the uneducated, mentally unstable crew who flew the island after escaping from prison under Papa Doc Duvalier area in the early 1900s? Boy, it's early in the day for crack. I mean, you know, it's early in the day to be smoking, to be hitting that crack pipe. You might want to, you know, it's a little warm out. You could fall out. Maybe wait until the sun goes down. Says Juan, where was Anton's brains when Perry Christie was prime minister? Anton thought Perry Christie was the cat's meow. Juan, please let these people know that the government is simply trying to help them. This is the most I've ever seen a government do post-hurricane and so quickly. It seems like they want the RBDF to get in there and clean it up so people can return and build their lives. Let the government clean. That's why we elected them. It says, Juan, West End Grand Bahama needs to be rebuilt also. Yes, it does. It was a disgrace last time I saw it. I can't imagine what it looks like after some wind and rain whipped it during Irma. It says, Ragged Island people are resilient. They will do it alone if they must. This says, Eleuthera 2 was booming in the 60s. You got those concrete silos along the road. They used to hold grain for export from a healthy farming community. Let me read this. It says, I've been on almost every island. It's not that experience. It's a good opportunity to spend money with and support Bahamians. The Tarpon Bay area in South Eleuthera is off the chain. Yeah, Tarpon Bay. That's where my family's from. That person said Haiti? I don't think so. Although if my family were from Haiti, I wouldn't have a problem with that. There's nothing wrong with that. After Hurricane... That's an old text. It says, who wants to move to Tiefen, Robin, Gunsling, and Nassau from Ragged? I'd rather take my chances back on Ragged. He got a point. It says they will live longer back on Ragged with no light, water, or home, but in Nassau they'll probably get shot. Create a forward RBDF base on Ragged Island and develop a small city around it. Simple. They do. When I talk to people from the island, from the family, I go, "How's it going out there in Guntown?" It's not really funny. That's what they call Nassau, Guntown. Like, could you imagine of living on a place where no one gets shot, and no one gets stabbed and chopped up and robbed and beaten to pieces? And can you imagine it? Hi, Juan. I sent you an email presenting monolithic.org. Okay, I'll look for it. Juan, I get it. I understand the pride, need, and determination to rebuild. People shouldn't get caught up in semantics. Unlivable, as in unfit to be lived in, is different than not able to be inhabited. At this moment, Ragged Island, the former. We need to use this moment to get it right as we go through this rebuilding phase. Juan, let me show you where hard work. When out the door, if you can remember, galvanized pipe for plumbing. Now we're plumbing with PVC pipe. This is where we're at with hard work. This says the government didn't uproot these people. Irma did. The government is just trying to help them. All right. Juan, this is the perfect opportunity to plan out Ragged Island properly, unlike Nassau. Yeah, Nassau's a mess. I couldn't believe that Shantytown was back there. I called immigration. I was like, do y'all know that there's a shanty, like a multi-level Shantytown back here? Remember where the other one burned down off of, for Christ's sake, what was the name of the road? Seabreeze Lane? Not Seabreeze Lane. You know what I'm saying. You know when you go, like, Fox Hill and the road that intersects Fox Hill and the prison where Checkers is? And you go, like, east of Joe Farrington Road. Yeah, my bad. You remember when one burned down Joe Farrington Road? This one's south of that, near the water. It's massive. I'm telling you. It's a coal community, bruh. They got light and everything, and it's a straight-up shantytown. It says, hi, Juan, good day. What's happening with the traffic lights not working on Prince Charles Drive for a few days now? The traffic lights have been out. They put them on emergency. I think they took them off by now. I was trying to help people navigate the lights. Nobody called me and cussed me up, but only you and your stupid people don't know how to navigate the lights. And I go through the traffic, and I got in almost 50 accidents for people not knowing how emergency lights work, right? So I was trying to help. This is, where's Big Mouth Wayne Monroe? He's from Ragged Island. Oh, he's out there. Don't think he's not going to have something to say. Anyway, that's it for the show. We're out of time. Sorry I couldn't get to all your calls and text messages. Interesting conversation. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow we'll be back. Parliament reconvenes. We'll hopefully have more information about Irma, the costs, what they're going to do afterward, and all of that. That's going to do it for the show today. Thanks so much. We'll also tomorrow hopefully have some information on how you can help donate supplies, funds, time, whatever, to help Ragged Island, Ackland, some of these communities that were hard hit. That's going to do it. You guys take care of each other out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.